started.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done for our good. We thank you for your power that is working in us, helping us to do your will. Thank you for your grace that is working in our lives, giving us the ability to do what is right in your sight. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege you have given to us to be called your sons, to be called your children. We thank you for how you have redeemed us from darkness, from destruction. We thank you for how you have saved our souls from hell into your kingdom. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank you for how your Spirit leads us and guides us and teach us and instruct us into all righteousness and into all truths. Thank you, Father. We thank you for several teaching discussions we have done on this platform before now. We thank you for several messages we have done here. We have taught and preached here on this platform. We thank you for how you have used these truths and revelations to change the lives of many all over the world. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I ask that even more of your revival should be released into our lives. Even at this time, oh Lord, revive us even more than before. In the name of Jesus, as this teaching will be going forth, Lord, I ask that let everyone that will listen be edified and transformed by your power, even by the power in your word, in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that you will not be distracted. I pray for you that your mind will be focused on the Lord during this teaching, and your life shall not remain the same again. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. Yeah, if you notice that the network is not strong, if you can't hear my voice very well, you can let me know in the comments section. Yeah, we're going to continue from where we stopped during the last class. You know, we are still talking about the origin, capacity, and abilities of the human spirit. And that is the part one of the broad topic, which says building a strong discerning spirit. So under this part one, we have looked at several points. The last point we looked at was your spirit can travel through millions of spiritual and invisible realms. So I will be moving to another point, which is there is no true spiritual discernment without true spiritual knowledge of God. There is no true spiritual discernment without true spiritual knowledge of God. Yeah. You know that in John chapter 4, I think John chapter 4 verse 24, Jesus was talking to that Samaritan woman about the nature of God. Jesus said, God is spirit. Yeah, John chapter 4 verse 24. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Yeah, Jesus said God is a spirit. So which means that the only way to worship him correctly and acceptably and gloriously and powerfully is to do it in spirit and in truth, because he is spirit. So what I mean by spiritual knowledge of God is that is like saying the God you know in the spirit, the God you know by your spirit. Yeah, that's what I mean by spiritual knowledge of God. So I said there is no true spiritual discernment without true spiritual knowledge of God. So you cannot say that your spirit is a discerning spirit until you have first of all discerned God, until you have first of all known God spiritually, not mental knowledge of God. That's not the kind of knowledge that Christians have been called into. We have not been called to know God mentally. Yeah, we have not been called to know God by the book or by the letters alone. Of course, you have to read the Bible. You have to also read many spiritual books. Yeah, but you are not called to know God just by the letters and by the books. You have been called to know God spiritually. So you have been called to a spiritual knowledge of God, to know God as a spirit, to know God in the spirit, and to know God by your spirit. So until you have known God like that, you cannot discern correctly. You can't discern any realm of darkness correctly. You can't discern any realm of the light correctly until you have known God spiritually, until you have known him as a spirit, in the spirit, and by your spirit. So you should take note of that. The Bible told us that the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. The letter kills, the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. So what that means is that there is a God in the Bible, or there is a God behind the Bible. There is a God that reviewed the Bible. So if you are just about the Bible and you are not seeking to know the God that gave the Bible, that revealed the Bible, that inspired those who wrote the Bible, then you can't find life and you can't know God. Yeah, so the Bible is to connect you with the God that revealed it, that inspired it, that gave it. Yeah, so that was what Paul meant in Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. He said, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Yeah, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Yeah, so I remember when I began my journey to know God intimately, to grow in knowing God, to grow even in knowing my calling. Yeah, I made up my mind that everything I have seen in the Bible about who God is and how close I can be to Him and how mightily He has revealed His power over, you know, through generations past, or in generations past. So I made up my mind that I want to have a practical knowledge of these things. I want all these things I'm reading in the Bible to come alive in my life. Like, I want to experience the God of the Bible. I want to encounter the God of the Bible. I want to know, not just by head knowledge, but by spiritual knowledge, by revelational knowledge. I want to know the God of the Bible. And because I made up my mind to get these things, I began to see myself getting it, because the God of the Bible began to appear to me. Yeah, so that is what that is what I'm talking about. Yeah, so you need to know God spiritually, not just mentally. Yeah. And then somebody also said something. Somebody said that you cannot know a fake dollar bill or dollar note, if you have not known the original dollar bill. Let's say, for instance, you have not known the original $5 bill, $5 notes currency, you won't be able to know the fake one. Yeah, so here we are talking about you having your spirit built up or transformed into a discerning spirit. But let it be registered in your mind that you cannot discern correctly any other realm if you have not known very well the realm of God, if you have not known God very well. So that is why I said in this point that there is no true spiritual discernment without true spiritual knowledge of God. Yeah, so we're going to be looking at some scriptures in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 to 12. Galatians chapter 1, 11 to 12. "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, For I neither received it of any man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah, that is Apostle Paul. He said, this gospel I'm preaching to you was not taught me by any man and is not after man. So meaning that he is not after the ways of man, is not after the businesses of men. Yeah, this is divine, because I received this calling by Jesus Christ himself, by a revelation of Jesus Christ. And that was what kept Paul going, even when a lot of people began to fight him. A lot of people were against his ministry. A lot of people were challenging his messages. A lot of people refused to agree that he's a real man of God. Yeah, or he's sent from God or sent by God. But despite all those oppositions and rejections, what kept Paul going was that revelation of Jesus Christ. So he believed that it is Jesus that has given him the mandate. It is not any man. Yeah, so he doesn't answer to man, he answered to Jesus. Yeah, and he's so sure of what he knows. Yeah, so for you to have a strong discerning spirit, you must be sure of who you know or who you have known. You must be sure of what you have learned from him. You must be sure of who he is. You must have known his nature. You must have known what God can do and what God cannot do. Yeah, you must have known how God thinks and how God don't think. Yeah, and this is how you will not be deceived by any realm of darkness or any spirit of darkness. I used to say something. I used to tell some people that if the prophets of the Old Testament were not sure of the God they were serving and of the voice of God they had, that there would not be any Old Testament scriptures written. Yeah. That if they were not sure that the person who appeared to them is God, and they were not sure that the voice they were hearing is the voice of God, they would not be able to write down those messages and instructions and accounts as we have it today in the Bible. Yeah. So, and I always say that when I'm teaching people how they can be sure that the prophecy they have given is the truth, even if the people cannot confirm it. Yeah, some people, if they are prophesying, they'll be asking you, I saw this is going on in your family. Is it true? Is that so? I saw that in your family they used to do this. Is that true? And then if the person say yes, it's true. Say yes. I don't know. They said, you know, they will say, write down, prophet, all of those things. Yeah, you're right, man of God. Yes, you're right. The Old Testament prophets did not I said the Old Testament prophets were not prophesying that way. They were not negotiating the messages. They were not apologetic or apologizing about what God has sent them to do. They were so direct about declaring God's messages. Yeah, so they were not like, praise the Lord. The network is fluctuating. Yeah, so as I was saying, I said that was not how the Old Testament prophets prophesied. They were not trying to ask the people if what they are saying is true or not. Yeah, they spoke the messages of God in a very direct manner. Yeah, so they were so sure of who called them. They were so sure of who sent them, and they were so sure that the messages they were given to deliver to the people is nothing but the truth. So that was how they were able to stand before kings and testify about God and His kingdom. You know, that was how they were able to stand before anyone and, you know, preach and prophesy. Yeah. So, my point is that you and I, as sons of God, you know, must go to the point where you know God and you are sure of who He is. You are sure of His nature. You are sure of His power. You are sure of His faithfulness. You are sure of His righteousness. Yeah, you can say boldly that this is the God I serve, and it cannot change because I know Him. Yeah, so we must come to that point. Until you come to that point, we cannot say that you have a strong discerning spirit. Because today we have Christians that God already told them certain things in their secret place, in their personal fellowship with God, And then one pastor, one prophet from somewhere, now suddenly come and start telling them another thing that does not line up with what God has told them. And then they begin to get confused. They begin to doubt what God has told them. They begin to say, or maybe this pastor is right. Or maybe this prophet is right. It's because you are not sure of your God. That is why you cannot stand on what your God has revealed to you in the secret place. Yeah, because somebody else is coming with another message or another gospel that is contrary to what you have received from the Lord. So you are confused, and you are now contemplating whether to believe that person because you are not sure of your God yet. Yeah, so that was the kind of person Apostle Paul was. He was so sure of his God. And that was why he was one of the most successful ministers of God in the Bible. Because he was so sure of his God. Yeah, so determine in your heart to really know the Lord spiritually. Yeah, not the God that I am telling you about, but the God that you have sought and found. Yeah, if you have known the Lord very well on your own, it will make the work of ministries easy for me as your leader or as your pastor. Yeah, it will make the work of ministry easy for me. Yeah. But when you are pastoring people that they don't even know the God they have surrendered their lives to, they don't know, you know, they don't have a strong relationship with the God that created them, the God that has redeemed them and has saved them, then you know, sometimes you might not even know how to pastor those people. So that is why ministry, or maybe I should say, you know, that is why we cannot say ministry has succeeded until that ministry has been able to help the people know God for themselves. Yeah. We can't say that ministry has succeeded. There might be miracles happening in that ministry. There might be healings. There might be deliverances. There might be all kinds of signs and wonders happening in the ministry. But until that ministry is able to help the people have deep knowledge, spiritual knowledge, revelational knowledge, experiential knowledge of God, until that ministry is able to help people draw close to God on their personal lifestyle, then that ministry has not succeeded. Yeah, that ministry has not succeeded, because before you know it, one pastor will just rise from somewhere and deceive the people. And if you have been thinking God has given you to pastor or to lead, suddenly you just discover that they are not coming to church again, they are not following your teachings again, they are not even listening to the gospel you are preaching to them again. Why? Because you have not helped them to know the Lord personally. That is why, you know, that is why a minister from somewhere will just come and deceive them, and they will just follow that one like that. Yeah, I hope you get my point. So it is important are that we all know God. As I am now, you know, I have not got to a point that I can't be deceived again. Yeah. In fact, I can't be deceived by anyone. Even if that person happens to be the most successful man of God in the world, and the person is telling me to do something differently from what does not line, I mean, to do something different from, you know, from what God has told me and have commanded me, I will not listen to that person. Even if the person is the most anointed person or most anointed minister of God in the world, I won't listen to the person. You know, to tell you that I have known God to the point of, you know, to the point that no one can deceive me out of the truth. Yeah, it is not possible. So in the same way, you must know God too very closely. You need to know the God that Abraham knew and was willing to kill his only son. Yeah, you need to know that God. So he knew God to the point that he knew that this is not a demon. You know, if it were in this generation, if it were in this generation that one Christian somewhere got the same instruction God gave to Abraham, that Christian would be like, I think it is the devil talking to me. How will God tell me to go and sacrifice the same son he gave me? You know, the same son I've been waiting for many years. Yeah, I've been waiting for the blessing of this son for many years. How will God tell me to now take the son and go and sacrifice it to him? That voice must be the voice of the devil. So if it were in this generation that a Christian received the same instruction Abraham received to sacrifice his son, I'm sure many of us will not do what Abraham did. You might just feel like it must be a devil that is speaking to me, whereas it is not a devil. It was God speaking to him. So Abraham knew God to the point that He could even kill himself if God said, go and kill yourself. That was how he knew God to the point. So he was not going to doubt God because he was sure that this is the same God that appeared to me in my father's house and said I should leave my father's house to a land he will show me. So he knew that this is the same God. He knew he wasn't being deceived by any other spirit. He was sure of the God he served. Yeah. So that is how you and I should serve God. So not that you are following God because Apostle said this is how God is, and this is how you follow God. Yeah, don't follow God because I said God is like this, and this is how you follow God. Follow him because you know that is, you know, this is how God is, and this is how to follow God. So don't just follow God because somebody is saying that is it. So when you are being challenged in the public, you say it's because in our church we have been told that we cannot do this. In our ministry, our pastor said we should not do that. If you are like that, you are still a baby Christian. Yeah. So it should not, your stand in Christ should not be because somebody said. It should be because you know that this is the truth, and you know that this is not the truth. You know the truth from what is not the truth. So, yeah, so your conviction should be based on that, not because somebody somewhere say I don't know if you're getting my point. So it shouldn't be about what somebody is telling you to do, but about what you know that it is right to do, because you have met with the God of the Bible, the God of the gospel. Yeah, that is what Christianity is. That is what Christianity is all about. And then I have shared this scripture with you all before. I'm going to reshare it with you again in John 17. Yeah, I think it's John 17. John 17, verse 3. John 17, verse 3. It says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Yeah, this is one of the verses God gave me when I was growing in my calling. John 17, verse 3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." So Jesus Christ was describing to us what eternal life is all about. In this verse, he said eternal life is about knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. He said that is eternal life. So if Christianity is all about eternal life, according to John chapter 3, verse 16, "Therefore God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So if Christianity is about eternal life, then that means Christianity is about knowing the only true God and knowing Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. So which means it's not about you being able to speak in tongues. It's not about having spiritual gifts, getting anointed. The first thing Christianity is about is eternal life. And that eternal life is about knowing the only true God, which I have said here is not head knowledge or mental knowledge. It's spiritual knowledge. Because God is spirit. So you can only know him in the spirit, and as a spirit, and by your spirit. So knowing the only true God and knowing Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. So that is eternal life. Yeah. And then if you also look at, I think Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, or maybe let me read. Because of time, let me just read verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So, but if you look at verse 11 of this same chapter, he said, God gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And verse 14, he began to give us one of the reasons why God gave those people to the church. He said, so that we be no more children, so that we won't be tossed to and fro by every doctrine. So somebody will not just, you know, somebody should not just come up with a teaching and then you just believe that teaching like that, maybe because the person has a very sweet voice, or the person could speak very eloquently, or the person has an ability to speak all kinds of grammatical or let me say all kinds of English grammar, and then you feel like, oh, that is a true pastor. I need to start following that pastor. Yeah. So if you know God, or when you have known God correctly, you will not be easily deceived by all the kinds of doctrines that is going on in the world at this time. Yeah. So let us continue. I want to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Yeah, Apostle Paul was telling them things they should watch against. And then he said, you have not learned Christ. Yeah, so which means that Christ is to be learned. So if you have learned Christ, you will not do certain things, because you know that Christ will not support me doing this, or Christ will not support what I'm doing right now, because I've not learned Christ in this way. Christ's way is not this way that I am walking in right now. So you should learn Christ. So Christ is to be learned. Even Jesus said, he said, I am the way, the truth, and life. So Christ is to be learned as the way, as the only way that leads to life, that leads to God. Christ must be learned as the truth. Christ must be learned as the life. Yeah. So you need to learn Christ. If you would have a strong discerning spirit, you need to learn who Christ is, what he loves, what he hates. Yeah, you need to learn what Christ stands for. Yeah, that is it. So don't be carried away by miracles, signs, and wonders, because in these last days there will be a lot of them. There will be a lot of miracles, signs, and wonders. Don't be carried away by it. Look for Christ in everything, in every way. Look for Christ there. So if Christ is not there, don't have anything to do with it. Yeah. Because you have not so learned Christ. So what you have not learned from Jesus, what you have not seen in Jesus, don't allow it to enter into you. Yeah, so that is it. Then another scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Yeah, it says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Or let me read from verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15 says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So, which means that when you are spiritual, you will be able to judge things correctly. Yeah. And you will be right whether anyone agrees or disagrees. You'll be able to judge situations correctly. You'll be able to judge people correctly, and your judgment will be right. Now, there are some people that I had told them sometime, I told them at a point, I said, this is the kind of spirit that is in you. And if you don't deal with this spirit, it will make you do this, make you do that, make you do that, and then you will just lose your place in Christ and in God's kingdom. So some of them feel like all the things you are saying is not in me, it's not me you are talking about. Because all these things you say I have, I don't have it. So it's not me that have those spirits you are talking about. I will just laugh. And then eventually, they will not discover that they will not discover that they do not only have that spirit. They will not discover that they all the things I mentioned happen to them. Yeah, after a while, they will not come back confessing that I should have listened to you then. Yeah, because actually everything you said happened. Yeah, so that is how a spiritual man can judge things. Yeah, because you have mixed with God. I mean, you have mixed with God. When I say mixed with God, I mean you have flown. Let's say you are a water, and then just as water flows, then you have flow into God and God into you. Yeah, so that is being spiritual. That is what being spiritual means. So you have been so deep into God, and God has been so deep into you. So it comes to a point whereby you can judge situations, and your judgment will be so accurate. Yeah, you can judge people, and your judgment will be so accurate. So you'll be able to know that this person is this, even if that person does not agree that he is like that. You'll be able to say, no, this person is this. I need to move. I need to draw far from this person. Yeah. You will just know naturally. Why? Because you are a spiritual man. So to be spiritual means that your spirit have mixed with God's spirit. And now you can easily know what is righteous and what is not righteous. You will just know it naturally. Yeah. So that is what knowing God can do to you. Knowing God deeply can do to you. So there are some people that you will just know that you should not get close to them. There are some things that you will just know that you should not do them. Yeah. You will just know it. Even if they look like they are good things, you just know that I should not do this thing. Yeah, so that is what knowing God deeply does to you. And then in John chapter 4, verse 23, John chapter 4, verse 23, it says, but the hour cometh, and now he is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. The true worshippers of God will worship him in spirit and in truth, for God is looking for such people to worship him. Yeah, so what does it mean to worship God in the spirit? And what does it mean to worship God in truth? Yeah, to worship God in the spirit means that you worship in that knowledge of who He is. You worship Him according to the revelation of who He is, according to how much you know Him. You serve Him according to how much you know Him. Yeah, that is what it means to worship God in the spirit. Your heart is communicating with His heart. Yeah, spirit to spirit. Yeah, since He's a spirit, so your spirit is worshiping Him. Your spirit is fellowshipping with Him. Your spirit is connecting with Him. So that is the kind of relationship God is looking for. And then to worship God in truth means that everything that God has revealed to you has found a resting place in your life. Every truth God has revealed to you, you have agreed with them. You have agreed that they are the truth, and you are obeying the truth. You are living in the truth. You are living for the truth. You have made His truth the law that governs your life. You have made His truth the standard you live by. So that is how you worship in truth. Yeah, not that you know that God hates fornication, and you are committing fornication, you are committing adultery, and then you enter church, and then you begin to dance. They are singing praise songs, and then you begin to dance. You are singing praises to God, whereas you are not in line with the truth of God that has been revealed to you. You have not agreed with the truth of God that has been revealed to you. So that worship will not be acceptable. Yeah, when you are worshiping God, and His truth the truth of God has no place in you, then your worship is unacceptable. No matter how good your voice sounds during that worship, or no matter how much you dance during the worship, if your life does not agree with the truth that is in God, that is in God's kingdom, then you are not worshiping in truth. You are just deceiving yourself. So God searches deep. He searches deep into the hearts of people, and only He knows the true worshippers. Only God knows the true worshippers. Yeah, because those that are worshiping Him in truth, He knows them. Those that are not worshiping Him in truth, He also know them. And also those that are worshiping Him in spirit, He knows them. And those that are not worshiping Him in spirit, He also know them. So another way to worship God in spirit is to come out of the realm of the flesh. Yeah, you are praying. You are praying in the spirit, not in the flesh. You are praising God, you are worshiping God, you are dancing. You are not doing it in the flesh, you are doing it in the spirit. So, which means that it's not your flesh that is being glorified. It is God that is being glorified in what you are doing in His presence. That is what it means to worship God in spirit. So some people, they give to God, because giving is also part of your worship to God. They give to gain attention. Like when it's time to give offering, they give so that people can know how much they have given. That is not worshiping God in spirit. Yeah, some people, they dance to gain attention so that people can know that they can dance in the house of God. That is not worshiping God in spirit. So I put a fast to gain attention so that people can know they are fasting. That fasting will not be acceptable. Yeah, because you are not worshiping God through that fast. Because you have made it all about yourself. You are trying to draw attention to yourself. You're trying to glorify self or flesh and not God. So God knows people that are actually worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Yeah. And then if you look at Romans chapter 12, you will also see more of what I've just talked about. Romans chapter 12 verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So it means that you can present yourself before God and you will not be acceptable. Your pastor can accept you. The ministry can accept you. Of course, they welcome you into their midst. But God might not accept you. Why? Because you are not a living sacrifice. So though you might be part of the members in the church, but you are not known in the kingdom of God. You are not known in the sight of God. So God does not regard you. So it's possible that in a congregation of 50,000 people, only 1,000 people are acceptable in that service. Yeah, because only those 1,000 are a living sacrifice. Yeah, so that is how strict the kingdom of God is. The standard of the kingdom of God is so strict that you can't bribe your way in. So it doesn't matter who you are. You don't meet up the standard. It means you don't. Yeah, that's what it means. You might, whatever you are, yeah, if you don't meet up with the standard, it means you don't. So that is why in a meeting, you will see God visiting some people and some people not being visited. God touches some people and some people not being touched. So it means that in that meeting, some people are being accepted and some people are being rejected. And they are all in the same congregation. And God is selecting those that are worthy. And He's separating them from those that are not worthy. Yeah. So, let us become living sacrifices. And then what is a living sacrifice? A living sacrifice is the life of a Christian that is dying to the flesh, to the sinful nature, to the things of this world. Yeah, so you are practically denying the desires of your flesh, desires of your Adamic nature. You're practically denying the pleasures of this world. So that is what a living sacrifice is. Yeah, so which means that you are not full of yourself. You're not full of unrighteousness. So you are always getting rid of everything that does not glorify God. Yeah, so it's like you're always crucifying your flesh on the cross. So everything that cannot be found in Jesus, you're always cutting them off from your life. So that is what a living sacrifice is. So, and that is how you can know God. That is how you can know God. You are not ready to become a living sacrifice, you cannot know God, and you can't worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yeah, you can't know God. You can't. Some people, they boast about having encounters with Jesus. They boast about having encounters with God, revelations, divine revelations, and all of that. Yeah, but then when we analyze those encounters and revelations, yeah, we realize that they still have not known God. Because some of those encounters are not actually even from God. And some is just because they have the gift. Yeah, that is why God appeared to them, so that he can use them, but even they themselves, they don't know God. So God can even use people that don't know Him. Yeah, because God just believes that through using this person, I can gain another person into my kingdom. So if let's say, for instance, you just feel like I just need God to use me. He can use you, and yet you will not know Him. You won't have a strong relationship with Him, and yet He can use you. So usually people like that, God use them for a while, and then leave them. You use something temporarily and then you throw it away. So I usually call those people borrowed vessels. God just borrowed them, used them, and dumped them. Why? Because they actually have no place in Him. Because these people, their nature, their lifestyle does not agree with God. So have it in mind that God can use people that don't even know Him just to glorify Himself. Because eventually you will dump them. Yeah. So, but if you really want to know Him, you know what to do. You know that you must become a living sacrifice to be acceptable in His presence. Yeah. So you know what to do. You know that you must deny yourself of what many people, millions and billions of people in the world are embracing. You must deny yourself of those things, because you know that He is holy and He is pure. Yeah, so don't be deceived. Don't say, I know one female pastor, female evangelist. She dresses all kinds of dresses that are seductive, and then God is using her powerfully. So why are you saying I must be a living sacrifice before God can accept me? I have just said it, that you can be used mightily by God and yet not know God. So that was why Jesus said, I think in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said that some people will come to Him in the last days, saying that, Matthew chapter 7, I'll read from verse 21. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity." Yeah. So you can see that you can be used by God for wonderful things, for diverse kind of miracles. and yet you are not known by God, and then you don't know God. Not that God don't know your name or know your house address or know your family background or family lineage. What it means is that you are not known in the kingdom of God. There's no record that you belong to the kingdom of God. That's what it means by that. That's what it means when he said, "I will tell them that I never knew you." Yeah. So it means they never had spiritual knowledge of God. And God also did not recognize them in his kingdom, because they were not ready to surrender to God's standard. Yeah, so that is how strict the standard of God's kingdom is. Yeah, now don't forget the point. The point says there is no true spiritual discernment without true spiritual knowledge of God. There is no true spiritual discernment without true spiritual knowledge of God. Yeah. I'll still look at the question. Yeah. So which means that true spiritual discernment is founded on true spiritual knowledge of God. Yeah. So make up your mind to know God spiritually. For those of you that did not join in time, you can go over the teaching again, and then you will see how I have explained knowing God spiritually, not just mental knowledge. Yeah, knowing God to the point that you are sure that this is God and I must serve him. Yeah. Yeah. You know that this is God. You know that this is the truth. And there is nobody anywhere that will tell me anything different from this that I have known. In fact, I want people to know God to the point that even if I myself come tomorrow and tell them what is wrong, they should not believe me. Yeah, that is how strong everyone wants you to know God. Or that is how serious knowing God is. You should know God to the point that even me, your apostle or your pastor, even if I come tomorrow to tell you something different from what you have known in God, you should not believe me. You should not agree. Even if an angel come or anything come and tell you otherwise, don't agree. So you must know God to that point. If you have not, you must get to that point. Make up your mind. Seek him. Deny yourself. Pay the price. And make sure you know your God personally. If you don't, you might not enter heaven with the way things are going in these last days. If you don't know God personally for yourself, you might not make heaven. Because a great deception is still coming. Though many people are already deceived at this time, but greater deception is still coming. To the point that even the people we are celebrating today, that they are original men of God, correct men of God, you'll be surprised that they will fall when this deception comes. A greater deception is coming upon this generation. So you must know your God. You must. And that is your first calling as a Christian, according to John 17, verse 3. So now, let me look at your question. There's a question here. It says, can it also mean during that time he's using them, he's giving them an opportunity to know him intimately? Or he's already sure they will not surrender and he has already settled their case? Okay. Yeah, I believe that he is giving them opportunity. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, because many of these people that God is using, you know, God cannot be using you and then, how will I describe it? Some of his nature will still be appearing to you. There's no how. Let's say, for instance, let me put it this way. Let's say you are using a bowl, a plastic bowl, to dispense oil, maybe vegetable oil or cooking oil. Let's say that there is a bigger bowl, maybe as big as 300 liters, and that bowl is filled with vegetable oil, and then there is this smaller bowl that is being used to dispense it. Like, you dip that smaller bowl into the oil to give it out to people. Now, there is no how you will use that bowl, that smaller bowl, to carry the oil and give to people, that there won't be small oil on the surface of that bowl. So there's no how God will use people, and some of his nature will not be trying to get to their heart, to get to their soul. So somehow many of them, God was using it as an opportunity. You know, God was using them, and at the same time, he's still showing himself to them. So many of them even know that what they are doing is wrong. Yeah, like, for instance, I served under a ministry some years back as a missionary. I served under that ministry. The ministry was headed by a pastor. Later, the pastor died, and the wife took over as the leader. Yeah, at a point when I realized that things were not being done right in that ministry, I began to make decision. I began to make up my mind to leave the ministry. And I remember at that time, the woman of God was saying it publicly. He said he knows that there are some ministers in this church that they're already planning to leave. And he knows that if they don't leave, they will not succeed in their ministry, because he knows that they are not comfortable with some of the things I'm doing. Yeah, and she knows that what she was doing was not right. And yes, she's doing it. And this is an anointed woman of God. So somehow they always know that what they are doing is wrong, but they just are not willing to repent. That is why usually some of them perish at the end. So I believe that the answer to your question is yes, God was actually giving them opportunity to repent. Even while he was using them, God was still giving them opportunity to repent. But many of these people that I have known, they don't want to repent. I tell you the truth. They don't want to repent. And I know a lot of them. Even here in Nigeria, I don't know about other countries, I know a lot of ministers of the gospel who are so much anointed, and they are not doing what is right in the sight of God. And they don't want to stop. And they know that they are not doing what is right. Yeah. So, that is my answer. So, we're going to stop here. If there are further questions, you can ask on the Telegram platform. Yeah, let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for your word that you have sent to us at this time. Thank you for showing us that it is not enough to know you just in our minds or in our heads. Thank you for showing us that we need to know you spiritually. We need to know you spirit to spirit, heart to heart. We need to know you very closely. We need to know you by revelations, by experiences. Thank you, Father. Oh Lord, I ask that you help as many who have listened to this teaching to really know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, the grace for everyone here to begin to have spiritual knowledge of you. Oh Lord, give to them in Jesus' name. I pray for you that your spirit man will be liberated to know God as he is, and not as someone say he is, but as he really is. I pray for you that you will be released to know him as he is in Jesus' name. And not only that, as you begin to know him, the grace to trust him, to believe him, and to follow him, even when many are drawing back from him, the grace to consistently follow him, receive now in Jesus' name. I pray for you that every negative voice, every lie of the enemy that is coming to bring you out of the knowledge of God you have at this time, I decree that the fire of God arrest and consume them in Jesus' name. Every spirit of deception that have not stopped targeting your soul, every spirit of deception that wants to remove you from the true knowledge of God that you have now, I bind them now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. Henceforth, you shall be strong in your spirit to discern accurately the operations in the realms of the spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.